Hello, my friends. Good evening and welcome into another edition of JMAC Live. So glad that you are here with us on an important day, January 6th, anniversary of January 6th, and a lot of reflection on the different news channels today about January 6th and the lessons that we hopefully have learned. And that's what I would like to ask you as we start out tonight. What have you learned from January 6th? What is your takeaway? Is there anything different inside of you in what you believe or how you act as a result of what you saw on January 6th? Do you think January 6th is just no big deal? Ain't no thing but a chicken wing. I would like to know your reflections after a year and after, you know, processing. And as we go in, as we head into another election season, are you any different? David and Mary Jane joining us from Sandy. Hello to both of you. I enjoyed our conversation on the phone yesterday. That was really cool to get to know you a little bit better. Diggs on Twitch says, "Hi, what's up?" Hey, Diggs, thanks for joining us. Haven't seen you here before. Love to know what you think about January 6th as we are, everyone in the world is processing, or everybody in the country talking about, either downplaying it on one side, talking about how it wasn't a big deal, sidetracking, talking about other issues that are more important, and can't we just all move on from January 6th? I wish we could. And I think that there's an easy path to moving on from January 6th. That path isn't going to happen. And that path would involve Donald J. Trump coming out and saying, "Hey, you know what? I thought there was voter fraud. Everything looks suspicious. But, you know, after all these audits and all of this information, you know, I've just realized that there wasn't voter fraud." You want to make January 6th go away, Donald J. Trump? You have the power to do that. Will it go away forever? No, but today, are we any closer to people not believing that fraud didn't happen? I don't think so, not from the polling. So really, between now and January 6th of last year, what has changed? Have we learned any lessons? I think the answer is a big fat no. And that is heartbreaking. Because what happened on January 6th was an attempt to stop the constitutional process, the most sacred process that we have. You know, I hear all these people talking about how we need to make sure that we have a sanctity of our vote, that we can trust the ballot. Yeah, we do. But we also need to have faith that the peaceful transfer of power will happen without interruption, unless there is just cause for it not to happen. And at no point is the appropriate course of action to march on the Capitol. Not when our Constitution gives us remedy. This is one of the things that always bothers me. And I hear this, you know, we're going to go get our guns and we're going to go and march because the Constitution gives us the right and the authority to do that. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I don't know where you get that. It doesn't. The Constitution was the answer to that problem. The Constitution was the remedy to where you wouldn't have to do that any longer. Because it has built-in checks and balances to stop an election from being stolen. It has built-in checks and balances to stop any one person from gaining too much power, or one branch. There is no place, show me in the Constitution, where it says, if you're not getting your way, march on the Capitol. Set up a gallows on the front of the Capitol steps and go representative hunting. This is a fallacy. The idea was that you would have remedy, and there was remedy. That remedy is the courts. That remedy is state legislatures, the Supreme Court. That's your course of action in this country. Just like when you believe that there is police brutality and that police officers should be held accountable for things that you've seen on a video. The remedy is not to take to the streets and burn down buildings. That's not available to you in our society. Just like when you don't like the election result, marching on the Capitol is not a remedy that is available to you. And that's why 700 of you so far have been charged. Because that is not a remedy that is available to you. The remedies are courts, elections. That's the remedy. And everybody wandering around, and I hear too much talk about it, civil war, seceding from the Union, all of these things. You have recourse under the law. There is no part of the Constitution that suggests or implies that if you don't like what you're getting, you can just resort to taking up your arms. Show it to me. It doesn't exist. This was supposed to be in place of that. But here we are a year later, and I just don't see the lessons being learned from a particular group of people. Hey, Jenny joining us. She says, hey, Jay from Logan. I have been recovering from a breakthrough case of COVID. Sorry. Still recovering. Haven't been able to think much, but the attack on the Capitol or reflect because my thoughts have been elsewhere. But I would have to agree with you, Jay. I definitely don't think we as a country have learned our lesson or done much of anything to change our thoughts or actions. And it's very sad to me. That's because the people who have it in their power to actually create change, to actually restore faith in a sound election process, they are being quiet today. Our own delegation, last I looked, the Salt Lake Tribune had reached out to Chris Stewart and Burgess Owens to get their thoughts. Silence. Silence. Chris Stewart spent a good amount of his tweeting over the last months talking about how immigration is what we should be focusing on, not January 6th, as if we live in a world where you cannot focus on two things. Look over here at this shiny squirrel or shiny object. Don't pay attention to what happened in the Capitol. And don't pay attention to the man who gave rise to all of it still spreading those same lies. Don't pay attention to that. Look over here at immigration. It's a, you know, I think that we have all been in the last 2 years, I think we've all been put to a, I don't know what to call it, a moral test, a test to see if we are people of principle or if we are partisan and we care more about partisan power than principle. I think our representatives have been given a clear test. And we have people here in Utah in our delegation that have passed that test, and we have people that have failed it. And I'm telling you right now, if you are an elected official in the state of Utah and you are silent about election fraud, or you've used distractionary tactics to look away from it, or you voted not to certify the election on January 6th, but you have yet to share with us any ounce of fraud whatsoever, then you failed the test. The test was, what is more important to you, your position and your power or truth? And if you decided that the truth was going to end up in you losing your position, then you failed the test, my friends. You failed the biggest test. If you would rather participate in the spreading of COVID misinformation, because that's the best way to keep your seat and to attain power, maybe a new chairmanship or something like that, you failed the test. And the only question is, will we Utahns hold you accountable to that? And that is questionable, isn't it? That is questionable. Anybody downplaying January 6th, they need to go. Anybody who is still willing to participate in the outright lies of election fraud, you need to go. Or put up your information. You need to be gone. You failed the test. You may be a great person. You may be somebody, you know, otherwise just spot on. Maybe you got into politics for the right reason. But you failed the biggest test. Are you principled or are you partisan? Are you in it for the truth or for the power? This test has been issued across our country, and it has become glaringly obvious to me and to many who the people are that are more interested in partisan power and who the people are who are interested in truth. Fortunately, we have some people in our delegation in Utah who are interested in truth at the risk of losing their position. That's refreshing, and I'm glad to see it. As far as these other people, why are we going to let them stay in office? Please tell me how that's going to continue. The main reason is because they're perpetuating the lie, Donald J. Trump perpetuating the lie. And so in order to keep their job, they have to go along with the lie. That's literally what's happening. I have to go along with this lie or I'm going to lose my job. Well, if you're choosing to go along with a lie to keep your job, you are corrupt. Sorry. That's what you are. Jenny says a lot of our leaders have failed. Is there going to be any accountability? Or are we just going to vote for the R's again in this state? They've got an R behind their name, and so who cares if they failed the test? We're going to vote for them again. That now becomes our test. Are we willing to make and create a change? Because if we don't, if we pass up the opportunity to hold these people accountable, then in a representative government, it then falls upon us. Because we are the employer of these people. We are the ones who decide if they stay. And so if after all of this, we vote them back in again, we no longer can blame them. Then we have to blame ourselves. And I know it's difficult to try and figure out how in the world are we going to put a dent in the system, because the parties control us. The parties control the power. And we don't. But the reason for that is because we've given away our representation. We've literally assigned our representation to a group of people. I've brought this up to you many times. There's only one reason that gerrymandering works. It works because the parties have convinced you to vote for their person before you know who they are. You can look at the gerrymandered map and you can know that a Republican will win in all four congressional districts this time. Not because you're forced to vote that way, but because we choose to vote that way and we don't even know who the candidates are going to be. This is why the party system was not part of the founding of this nation. This is why George Washington, our first president, in his farewell address, begged us not to get caught up in this. But here we are. We could take away all their power, all their gerrymandering, all of this choosing power over principles. We could take it all away. But we're going to have to think different. We're going to have to choose different. We're going to have to demand different if we're going to do that. If not, I fear the writing is on the wall and we are heading towards a civil war because the two parties want us to believe that we are so desperately different than they are. And I would love for you, if you didn't catch it, to go back and listen to Tuesday's podcast where I shared with you the misconceptions on both sides about what the other guys believe. And that we are so far apart, not in our beliefs, but in our belief of the characterization of the other side by our party leaders and by the pundits who are in it for power as well. And the truth is, we are all so much more alike than they ever want us to believe. So what's it going to take? I'm just curious, what is it going to take? I'm going to share with you tonight what I'm going to do, at least a little bit of what I'm going to do. And you know a lot, some of this, you know I've been working on it with a bunch of people who listen to the show and other like-minded individuals. You know I've been working on something called liftpolitics.org. This is an organization that doesn't focus on platform. It focuses on principles. And I believe unless we choose different, regardless of party, then we're going to be stuck. A lot of people think, oh, the answer is term limits. I don't believe that for a second, and I'll tell you why. Because the parties are choosing for us. So yeah, you may have somebody who's chased out after 4 years or 8 years, but the parties are just going to decide who the next person is. As long as our representatives fear more the party and the special interest than they do the people, you will not have representation. And you will not have people choosing principles over power. It just won't happen. It just cannot happen. I would love for you to go to liftpolitics.org. I would love for you to accept the challenge, the Lift Challenge, because this is about how we carry ourselves and how we treat each other and how we expect our representatives to act and to treat each other. I could go and show you. Oh. How did that happen? It was there before I went on the air. Hang on a sec. Let me click the right box here. Where did you go? Well, it just totally disappeared on me. Sorry, guys. Here it is. Nope, that's the wrong computer. All right, I don't see it. Somehow I deleted it. So you guys are going to watch this in action here. Let's. Nope, not that one. Don't worry, I'll cut this all out in the podcast when it airs. Let's see. Oh, there you can see my FaceTime. Here we go. All right. Look at that. Found it. Okay. This is liftpolitics.org. And the whole goal of this is to, let's see if I can make it big enough so you can see it. Uh, Okay, I'm just gonna leave it like that, I guess. Oh no, I know what I need to do. Sorry, guys. Watching this all happen in real time. Here we go. Watch this. Ready? No. There we go. Okay. All right, liftpolitics.org. You'll see up there in the top right-hand corner, take the challenge. What we did is we spent almost a year working on this, and this actually stems from the guiding principles that I put forth for my campaign last time. And then we took these and we did a lot of surveys from people. We asked a lot of questions, and we put together this list of principles. And we're going to go out and we're going to ask our representatives to accept the challenge. And we have several who are going to be accepting the challenge. I can't announce that yet, but hopefully I will be able to. And I'd love to know what you think about these. I'll just read through these quick. Guiding principles. We strive to act with malice towards none and dignity towards all. That's directly from Abraham Lincoln. The next one, as George Washington believed, those who seek to divide are not patriots. If you read George Washington's farewell address, he talked about how patriotism is love of each other and love of country over love of platform or love of party. The next one, honestly engaging with opposing views broadens understanding and sharpens ideas. The next one, solutions born from diverse perspectives and compromise are most likely to produce fair outcomes for all. The next one, party is a mechanism to fight for principles, not power. The next one, if the truth is not good enough, then neither is our cause. Another one, we hold all sides to an equally high standard. That includes our own side, by the way. The next one, no honest solutions can be found in degrading or mischaracterizing the people or ideas involved. And then, who we become in our fight is just as important as whether or not we win the battle. And the last one, we motivate through raising up, not through fear, hatred, and anger. Principles that I would like people to commit to as they interact on social media, as they interact with people who disagree with them. And then, so if you go up here and you click accept the challenge, there's a form that you can fill out. And it says, I support the principles of lifting. I will strive to exemplify them in my own life and to hold my elected officials accountable to them. And this has nothing to do with, you know, platforms, tax cuts, immigration reform, all of those things are still important. But if we lose ourselves in the battle, that one principle, who we become in our fight is just as important as whether or not we win the battle. If we become filled with rage, anger, hatred, fear, then it's not worth winning the battle. It's not worth it. If you allow yourself to come to a place where you hate your neighbor that disagrees with you, when a core belief of your religion may be turn the other cheek, love those who spite you. If you are falling into this trap, I promise you it's because the two parties want to manipulate you with these emotions. And if you can incorporate the principles of lifting into your life, I believe this is a path to acting instead of reacting. Making choices based upon facts, based upon research, based upon listening to all sides. That when you do that, you are much less likely to be controlled and manipulated by those who get power and money from you if they can divide you and manipulate you. I hope you'll take a minute and go to liftpolitics.org and accept the challenge. There's We're not asking for any money right now. We are asking for people to support the principles of lifting. I hope you will do this. This is when you ask the question, JMac, what are you willing to do to create change? This is something we've been working on. I'm very proud of it. And I'm very thankful for those who have been involved already. This is something we can do to lift politics. And you have to be willing to reach outside your party if you're going to do that. So that's the first thing that I just wanted to tell you about one more time. Lift politics. If you weren't familiar with it, go to liftpolitics.org and click accept the challenge. And I hope that within a couple of weeks, we will be announcing that several people running for office, prominent people, will also have signed the Lift Challenge. And then I'd like you to reach out to your representative and ask them to accept the challenge as well. And in fact, there's a, if you click in the, let's go back to the page here. If you click on the red accept the challenge, you'll see up here in the right-hand corner, it says candidate challenge. So the individual challenge is I support the principles of lifting. I will strive to exemplify them in my own life and to hold my elected officials accountable to them. And then the one we're sending out to the candidates says, I will strive to conduct my campaigning, fundraising, and time as an elected representative in accordance with the Lift guiding principles. So this is what we're going to be asking those people running for office and those people in office to sign. So that is something that I have been working on. The other thing that I want to share with you is, you know, I've been looking for a home. You know, several months ago, I announced that I was leaving the Republican Party, specifically because of leadership in the National Party. And those members of the party who have chosen to participate in the spreading of misinformation when it comes to COVID and when it comes to election fraud. I believe their actions are literally killing people and killing democracy. And I cannot abide by or support those concepts or principles any longer. If you ask me about the majority of the Republican platform, what they're supposed to stand for, I'm like, yeah. But when we sell our soul for that platform, it's no longer worth it. If we become what we hate in fighting for our platform, then there's no difference between them and us. And I happen to believe that there should be a difference between those who we call our adversary and us. But we decided to outdo them to such a degree that this entire country has devolved into a festering, you know, you talk about a melting pot. This is a festering, boiling pot of rage and hatred and anger for people that I guarantee you that if you had an opportunity to interact with them on a personal level and get to know them, you would be shocked and amazed to find out that you mostly have things in common. But you are being divided. You are being stirred up to anger and hatred so that you can be manipulated, so that you can be played. So I bailed, and you know that since then I've been looking for a place to go. Well, I'm announcing tonight I've found a place to go. And I'm not going to tell you that you need to follow me. I want you to make the best choice for you, and you decide how you're going to proceed. But today I officially joined the United Utah Party. And I have done that after a lot of research. After, you know, that we've interviewed members of the United Utah Party here on this show. I've done a lot of soul searching. And I believe that this is the best place moving forward, where we can create an opportunity to take back the power from the parties, from the majority parties, and return to a place where elected officials have to come to us for our vote instead of knowing how we're going to vote, so much so that they can divide up the districts perfectly, knowing how. Wouldn't it be amazing? Imagine how it would be if they couldn't gerrymander because they couldn't know how we're going to vote. Because we took into consideration way more than just political party. That we took into consideration character, principles like LIFT politics. Imagine how different things would be if every single election they had to come to us not knowing if we were going to support them again. Not knowing if they had done something wrong and they're like, please, please, kind voter, we won't do that again. We'll stand on principle next time. We won't support claims of widespread election fraud without any evidence. We won't do that again because we need your vote and we want your vote. They're not coming to us. They're not looking to you to say, what do you want? They've got your vote. So guess what they do with it? They sell your vote to the highest bidder, to the special interest groups. That's how we end up with elected officials in this state who get 90% of their money from out of the state. It's obscene. Who are they working for? Are they really working for you? If they're not getting their money from you and they know you're going to give them your vote no matter what, then who are they representing? It's not you. It's not you. I have really, really enjoyed getting to know the leadership of the United Utah Party. I would encourage you to go to their website and to read their platform. They are kind of in line with LIFT politics, where they're much more concerned about how we act than necessarily staking their claim in every single part of, you know, every single platform. Again, I'm just telling you this is where I have landed, and I'm very excited about it. But I want you to make your own choice for yourself. I would encourage you to investigate the United Utah Party. I would suggest to you we are not ever going to see real change until the parties fear us again, until elected officials fear us again. And if you think they fear you, take a look at redistricting. 50, a little over 50% of Utahns who voted for an independent redistricting commission. Did the state legislature run by the party, did they say, hey, 50% of Utahns voted, they want this, so we ought to look at it. We ought to listen to it. No. They didn't acknowledge the maps presented by the district redistricting committee. They didn't say why they didn't accept those maps from the redistricting committee. They made up a bunch of excuses that were straw man arguments and just shot them down. You would think for a minute that the calculation would be, wow, 50% of voters in Utah wanted this. Man, if we don't at least act like we're listening to the commission, we're going to lose because we can't survive without half of the vote. They didn't do that. They gave the redistricting commission the finger and 50% of Utahns. They gave us the finger. How can they do that? Because they don't fear you. They don't fear that you're suddenly going to say, you know what? I'm gonna vote different. Because I voted for that redistricting committee and you ignored it. So I'm going to replace you. Mm-mm. No. You think they have an ounce of fear that they're going to lose party power? You think that they have an ounce of fear? This is really the problem that occurs when you have a state like ours that is so overwhelmingly one side of the aisle. You think it's good? No, it's not. Because the parties overwhelmingly have your permission to do whatever the hell they want. because they know how you're going to vote already. Paul Pickett says, election funding is such a scam. You are 100% correct. So this is my choice. I'd love to know what you think about that choice. I'd love for you to look at the United Utah Party. If you wanted to follow me there, I think we can do some good there. I really do. I think that they are a foundation that can, a strong, firm foundation that can be built upon. If I didn't believe that, then I wouldn't be joining. And I'm not announcing anything today, but I am telling you that I am considering my options to perhaps run as a member of the United Utah Party. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know the timeline on that. But I just know that I can't sit here anymore. I've had a year off since the last election, and I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And some things have changed for the better in my personal life. And I didn't think I'd be back thinking about it for a long time, because this last run was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. To where it caused me to have a physical breakdown, a financial disaster. And so I thought, man, it's going to be a long time before I ever do something like that again. I'm starting to feel like we have only a certain amount of time to try and create change here. I don't see this boat turning around anytime soon unless we all get out and we start to row and we start to turn it around. So that is what I'm going to try and do. And I hope that in your own way, whatever way you feel is best, that you will join me in this. We have got to send a message to the two parties that they don't get our vote for nothing. That we don't vote blindly. That principles matter. That those people who represent us are a direct reflection on us. And therefore, we should hold them to the highest standard. But what we do today is we hold the other side to the highest standard. And then we make excuses for our own side. And I'll tell you the word for that. It's hypocrisy. And we see it on both sides of the aisle right now. I truly believe we are approaching a turning point in this country where there will be a point of no return, where people will believe that the only answer is to physically divide the country by force. And we have chosen leaders who perpetuate that idea, and the idea that we are so terribly different. So I ask you today, on the anniversary of January 6th, what are you going to do as a result? What are you? I know that on September 11th, we all said, what am I going to do? I think January 6th is a day where we should be asking ourselves that same question. And when you see people trying to downplay that, or distract you and say, what about this? That's worse. You should instantly question their motives. Instantly question. Because the way it's looking right now is we had a president of the United States who just sat there and did nothing. Did nothing to stop it. Meanwhile, our elected representatives hold up in a room a bunch of people in Nancy Pelosi's, basically in her closet, barricaded in, fearing for their lives as people were banging down the door on the other side. See the other pictures of people barricaded in, and all of the officers have their guns drawn, not knowing. You see the fear in their faces. I, you know, Anybody trying to downplay that to me instantly, you know that they are not operating on principles. My opinion, they're operating on party. And before that moment, man, they would have come out and any type of riots, any type of insurrections, they would have just been, you know, they would have been all over it. They would have been supporting the police. They would have been, this is terrible. This is the worst possible thing. But when it was their own doing it, again, these are the morality tests, the principle tests that have been put before us. And it's pretty easy to do the partisan reversal test.
The partisan reversal test.
And ask the question, if January 6th was a bunch of Democrats storming the Capitol as a result of 2 months of lies from Hillary Clinton, you're telling me they're saying, oh, illegal immigration is worse? You're telling me they downplay it? They lie about it? They ignore it? Not a chance, my friends. They have been exposed. All of them. And you've seen several of, we talked about these the other day, Fox News host, fair and balanced, exposed. Exposed. In private texting, you got to stop this. And in public downplaying it. How do these people stay on the air? How on earth are they still on the air? Because partisanship has taken away our ability to decipher truth and to see that for what it is. But I'm telling you what, the minute Chris Cuomo is helping his brother, he got to go, man. That's crazy. That's terrible. Sean Hannity helping Trump? Nothing, you know. That's no big deal. Nothing. We are messed up, man. We are messed up as a people. Messed up. The only question is, can we turn it around? I truly believe that the majority of Americans are somewhere right in the middle, and they're looking at both sides and they're shaking their head, but they have no idea how to change it. No idea. Somebody's got to rally us together and provide a different path before it's too late. All right, my friends, that's a pretty long monologue for January 6th, but you now know exactly where I'm at, as if you didn't already. I'm going to be sharing with you more about the United Utah Party. I'm going to be pondering whether or not I will be participating in this upcoming election process. that makes me all kinds of nervous. But I just, I think every one of us needs to go down kicking and screaming, fighting for what we believe. David says, actually, this is Mary Jane. She says, I'm going to be more involved in learning more about what those in office are doing and what those stand for, and then give active support accordingly. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Paul says, great monologue tonight. You rock. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. I would ask you why it is that when Burgess Owens and Chris Stewart were asked today by a newspaper for commentary on January 6th, their response was silence. John Curtis stood up. I think Mike Lee did. I know Romney did. Silence on January 6th. Oh, well, could it be that you were there on January 6th and you voted against certification? Could it be that? Could it be that in the months following that, you were trying to distract people from January 6th? And say that somehow January 6th doesn't matter because we have an immigration problem? What? It's unbelievable. Jenny says, I'm excited to learn about United Utah and to see where you go with him. Thank you, Jenny. That's all I can ask. Please don't ever interpret me as telling you what to do. This has been a long and difficult decision for me, one that I do not take lightly. I hope that you will put the same effort into it. And look, there's a lot of people who will say that because of how Utah is set up, that they're going to stay a member of the Republican Party because that allows them to participate in the primary. Because in Utah, the primary is actually the general election, because that's how addicted we are to partisanship. I understand that. I hope over time I can get you to rethink it. But that's where I'm at today. So went on and changed my voter registration today. And I'm excited. I'm really excited. And I've got more to share with you. So two assignments tonight. I'm giving you homework. Investigate the United Utah Party and go to liftpolitics.org and accept the Lift Challenge. That's your homework tonight. All right, my friends. That's all I had prepared for you tonight. Not a lot of other topics. If there's anything else you want to share, we could, I'm not feeling it so much, but we could go down the rabbit hole if you want. If there's anything else you want to talk about, I'd be glad to do so. Or we can just call it an early night. We've been going for 49 minutes, so not close to our normal few hours every night. So, and thank you, Zachary, for liking the stream. Anything else you guys want to talk about? I'm glad to do it tonight. My mouth is dry, though. Much better. I will tell you, if you go to my YouTube page or my Facebook page, you will see my interview with Sherry Swenson, Utah County Clerk. I'll probably play this during one of the live streams next week. We had a great discussion about ranked choice voting. I hope you'll go back and listen to it. She talked about the successes of ranked choice, the things that went well. We had, I think, 10 cities in the state of Utah that did it. But then we had an interesting discussion about how difficult it would be to implement on a statewide level. She made a lot of great points. Then we talked about whether or not there should be a forensic audit in the state of Utah. She took the time to go through all of the security features that are used in our mail-in ballot system. Many of those I've already shared with you. But she talks about how even if you live in one apartment and you move and you get a ballot at both apartments, how that situation, you can't vote twice. She talked about all of these safety and security measures in. She says she has no problem with the assessments that happen every year to assess whether or not there needs to be improvements. But she said there's absolutely no reason or call for a forensic audit. She also points out that there's no constitutional mechanism for a forensic audit. Go back and listen to that, and we'll probably bring it up Tuesday, and we'll talk about it some more. But if you don't know how the ballot system works and all the security features that are built into the mail-in ballot, it's definitely worth a listen. So I will recommend that to you. You'll find it on my YouTube and on my Facebook, and I posted it at jmcfarland.com. So if you are a member of the club at jmcfarland.com, you'll see it there as well. And the nice thing about any content I post at jmcfarland.com, there's no commercials there. So, and I would love it if you take a minute while you're at jmcfarland.com to become a patron. Many of you listening tonight are already patrons, and you help me support this podcast and bring this content to you. So thank you for that. With that, my friends, I think we're ready to go. So we'll call it an early night. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for considering what I have brought to you tonight. And maybe within the next few weeks or so, I'll be able to let you know what this year is going to look like for me. David says, thank you for your thoughts, Jay. Thank all of you, especially for your support your kind words. David says thanks. And I also want you to think about this. You know, we talked about the fundraising problems. What are you willing and able to do? Because it's going to take money as well, not just your vote, to create change. And, you know, it's tough times. Not everybody has a lot of money going around. So that's why the special interests step in and are able to do so much. So that's another thought, my friends. All right, I'm rambling on. I'm going to stop rambling. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll start the music and have a wonderful night.